Well, I would like to welcome today Justin DeMild and Max Muncy to this episode of Innovation Generation. Welcome to Innovation Generation, a podcast of the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Grove City College, where we hear the inspiring stories of entrepreneurs and explore the hopefulness of entrepreneurial thinking wherever we find it. I'm your host, Tim Sweet, and this is Innovation Generation. Welcome, guys.
Thanks.
It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, you're both students at Grove City College. Seniors, I understand, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, Justin, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you came to Grove City and what you were planning to do. And I understand you also are an athlete.
Yeah. So coming to Grove City was not the experience that most people have coming here. You know, a lot of it's through the faith, and that's the way they find out about Grove City. That's not how I found out about it. Going through high school, and you know, I'll get in my athletic background a little bit later, but I was always a football player. I knew I was going to end up playing football in college, and originally I committed to somewhere else. I thought, okay, I'm going to go to just a Pennsylvania public university, try to walk on their football program. And it was the funniest thing. I was just sitting at a camp one day, and I get a message from one of the coaches. And, you know, I'm all the way out in eastern Pennsylvania around the Reading area. And this text message said, hey, we'd love to have you for a visit. Can you be in Grove City? And I'm like, okay, perfect. When? And he said, tomorrow. So I had to drop all my plans. I, you know, something just felt right with this message. I liked the way he worded it. I copped on a quick conversation with him on a phone call. And just everything seemed to click. And for me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to risk it. I'm going to chance it. I'm going to drive out tomorrow to Grove City, you know, 6-hour drive out there. And when I got here, I fell in love with it instantly. And I actually had a little bit of ties because my neighbor ended up being the quarterback here at the time at Grove City. So I was able to kind of preface things with him before coming up. You know, I'm on the road like, hey, tell me more about Grove City. What do I need to know when I walk onto campus? He gave me a little bit of a lowdown. And then when I came here, I just fell in love with it instantly, and that's how I ended up at Grove City. And then the faith compiled on, and then I was able to learn and grow here as a student.
Wow. So what are you studying as a major, Justin?
So actually, I started off as a teaching major, and it's the funniest story. I came in, I was like, I'm going to teach, I'm going to coach eventually. But for me, I fell in love with business. I fell in love with how entrepreneurship, management, everything about business, even marketing, I fell in love with it through outside of school experiences. And so I transitioned in and become a management major because I tried to go entrepreneur, but my parents were a little bit skeptical at first. I think now they wish I would have went entrepreneur, but I did end up going a management major.
Great, great. And Max, tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from and what you're studying, how you got here.
So I'm from a little town called Knightstown, Indiana.
Knightstown,
the state.
Knightstown, Indiana.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It's not surprising. But back then, it was me and my girlfriend. We were trying to find a school that had a good pre-physical therapy as well as engineering. So those were kind of our two major requirements. And then I wanted to play football too. So we had three things that were really, you know, okay, where can we go, right? So I was getting decently heavily recruited at the time. So I was on and off of a lot of campuses. It was something like 15 different places that, you know, I went out and talked to coaches, got the rundown on the school, the classes. And then near the end of that, she calls me and says, hey, you know, my parents went to Geneva. They're just begging for us to go at least take a visit there, right? So we go out to Geneva. And I think the guy that was actually walking us around, he was a senior receiver, said, well, hey, you know, if you're going here, you might as well, like, visit Grove City. I mean, people that go over there, they love it. Just, you know, talk to them at least. And so I reached out to one of the coaches, said, you know, hey, my name's Max. Here's my film. You know, would you guys be interested in having me come play receiver? And he said, yes, of course. You know, when can you be up here? And I'm like, well, I'm at Geneva right now. I guess I could be here tomorrow, you know. And he said, okay, yeah, come. You know, come on out. And came here on a visit and was so impressed at the coaching staff. That was the difference. You know, I've been on Division II, small D1, JUCO, a lot of different campuses, a lot of different cultures, and came to Grove City and sat down with Dito and felt like, you know, I was someone that really mattered to him, even though he had no idea who I was until maybe 12 hours prior. And it was a special experience. It really was.
For those who might not know who Dido is, mm-hmm. So we have some prospective students and parents and maybe even some prospective football players who might be listening to this podcast. Could you tell them a little bit about Dido, or Coach Dido, as we sometimes call him?
Yeah. So Coach Andrew DiDonato, I believe, mm-hmm. is his full name. He's the head coach for Grove City. And I think if you ask any other football players, they'd agree with me when I say that he is a very special guy. He's the only coach like him that I've ever met. Mm. He, his after practice speeches, you know, what every coach gives, kind of that post practice wrap up. It was something that I looked forward to every day after practice. I can't say that for any other sport, coach, anywhere that I've ever played. He's truly a special guy. He brings that to everything that he does.
Yeah. And was it football that brought you guys together? Is that how you got to know each other?
Yeah, it's, you know, the combination of football and then, you know, on-campus life here at Grove City, you know, kind of enveloped together. A lot of the groups, kind of the football guys, will stick together.
Sure.
And, you know, me and Max, freshman year, I don't think knew much about each other at all. We're living in two different buildings. You know, I'm defense, he's offense. I go up against him every once in a while. We basically had no connection freshman year. Yeah. Outside of maybe, you know, a couple friends in between. You know, we were like second string connected to each other. And just getting to know each other a little bit as we started joining groups, you know, it became clear that neither of us had a roommate going into, was it our sophomore year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so our sophomore year, you know, we just kind of happened to connect a little bit. And I'm like, hey, do you have a roommate? And he's like, no, I don't have a roommate. Let's room together. We'll see how this works. And, you know, it's been a blessing ever since, you know, just being able to have a roommate, a business partner all in one, where we're hanging out every single day. And, you know, our talks aren't, hey, what's the newest TV show? It turned into very quickly, what about this business idea? What about something going on? You know, and then that's kind of how our relationship developed.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, it was a very interesting thing. I mean, when we kind of, I think Justin texted me like, hey, you know, it's kind of down to you or one other guy. So far as, you know, being roommates.
And well, he was qualifying.
Well, we had a very small pool to choose from. But the only thing that I knew about him was he liked video games. And I'm just like, man, I haven't played video games since I was in, you know, maybe freshman year of high school. Like, me and this guy are not going to get along. Like, that's just immediately what I thought. I was like, you know what? He's a gamer. Like, he's just going to be in there. You know, he's not going to be doing much.
Those late nights, 3 a.m., you're waiting for him, you just staying up playing video games. Oh, is that what you thought was going to happen?
Yeah, now I just listen to his keyboard.
Slack or 2 in the morning, miss classes the next day.
Yeah. Sometimes. It happens.
So today we're here to actually talk a little bit about a business idea you have been working on, Athletes After.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And part of your stories, your journey, has really what has contributed to the development of this business idea, not just your personal relationship, but the way your lives have converged at this point. Tell us a little bit about where the idea came from, and maybe let's talk a little bit about what it involves.
Yeah, I mean, for us, a big motivator of it was the fact that we both lost our ability to play the game that we love. So many people attach their identities into what you do. So football players, you know, they identify as football players.
Yeah.
And during this whole process of going through college, playing our first year, you know, Max unfortunately suffered an injury. So did I. And so by the time end of sophomore year rolled around, you know, I became clear that football was no longer an option for me as well as Max. Mm. And so that became a big driver to how can we stay around the game? How can we develop a company as well? Because we talked about it, you know, roaming together. Hey, what if we did something? What if we created a company? And then when it became clear that both of us were no longer able to play football, we were like, let's make it a football-based company, a recruiting company, and kind of talking about our stories in the recruiting process.
Yeah. So we originally, Justin had the idea like, hey, let's try to direct current college players in how to approach NIL deals and NIL contracts.
And NIL for our audience is
name, image, likeness.
Name, image, likeness has become really important in recent years.
It's a very new development when it comes to NCAA. So, yeah. But yeah, that's where we originally started. And, you know, we bounced ideas off of each other for weeks. I mean, it was a while of, hey, let's do this. I don't like, you know, what about this? What about something like that? And we kind of came to the point of, well, hey, you know, we're both from small towns. We both kind of had to fight tooth and nail for everything that we did in football. You know, getting out of high school, where you're going to go, how you're going to get recruited, all this stuff. And we realized that we faced a lot of the same issues when it came to recruiting. Mm-hmm. So that's how we kind of transitioned from NIL back into high school recruiting.
Interesting. So you identified a gap. You identified a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And but it took a little bit of time to kind of figure out what that problem was that you wanted to address.
Yeah, and the ideation process just kind of came out of just talking about our experiences and then talking to other guys around us. And, you know, we were blessed. I mean, we were completely surrounded by football guys, and we could ask them the same questions. And, you know, just through talking with people, the same sort of problems just kept showing up and kept showing up. And we're like, okay, this is what we need to do. And, you know, right now, the way the recruiting industry is run, you know, you throw your name on a database and you just wait and pray that some coach looks at your profile, which is only your intangibles, your height, your weight, your times, you know, how much you can lift. And we're just like, that's not the best way to do it. You're waiting for somebody else. So why not try to go out and do it yourself? And for guys like me and Max from small towns, we had to learn how to do that. But not a lot of kids have the structure, the support. Luckily, we were blessed with people around us to help us through this process. But a lot of people don't have that help.
Right. So that was the gap that you saw, right? It's there's some kind of breakdown in the recruiting process that could be made better, more optimal experience, especially for those who aren't playing for big schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, it kind of through us talking and talking to other people, like Justin said, it kind of became apparent that if you weren't, you know, those top maybe 500 athletes, right? And really, we talk about less than 300 athletes in the nation. If you're not one of those 300, you're going to have to actively commit to recruiting, not necessarily commit to coaches, but you're going to need to commit to the process and learning it and understanding how you can market yourself.
And do most students even have an awareness that they need to do that?
Not until late in high school, if they ever have that realization.
Yeah. What do you think is the desire on the part of high school students? How many, percentage-wise, how many students think they would like to go on to play in college? Any ideas on that? Any research around that?
Yeah, in the high school football world right now, there's just over a million kids playing high school football.
Okay.
And which is a massive number. And most people think, oh, with concussions and everything going on right now in the football world, that number is shrinking. It's actually the opposite. It's growing, especially post-COVID, because people are, you know, parents are trying to get their kids out of the house, doing things. So football in the youth stages is growing. So football itself is only going to grow. As for the percentage, it's hard to narrow it down. You know, our thought process is most kids want to go play high school or college football. But we don't have an exact percentage. Our goal right now is target about 10%. But right now in college football, there's about 75,000 players, which is a huge number across, you know, D1, D2, D3, JUCO, NAIA, independent schools. So a lot of different programs. I mean, Max, you've been building out a database now. There's 700 different college football programs.
I have 864 different schools and somewhere around 14 to 16 pieces of individual data, not counting their location. So it's a massive undertaking. But boy, at the end of the day, it's
a lot of kids trying to play college football. It's growing.
Yeah.
And the sport itself is growing now, especially with NIL that we were talking about, the amount of money in it. It's becoming even more competitive than ever.
Yeah.
So there's clearly a benefit to the students and the parents that are trying to take some ownership in the recruiting process. What about on the other side? Is it valuable for schools, for coaches? Have you gotten some feedback on your idea relative to some of the people that are in influential positions?
Yeah, working with coaches, we've done a lot of interviews. And Max, you want to speak on that real quick?
Yeah, so through recruiting, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, right? Because in essence, you know, you're cold marketing. You're approaching different programs and saying, hey, do you have a spot for me on your roster?
Yeah.
So through that, I mean, my following on Twitter and who I follow on Twitter is high school coaches. And it's people that, you know, I've reached out to and I've talked to, had at least some form of a conversation. So when we were kind of doing this, that's where we started. You know, those guys that I had had a conversation with, developed a relationship with, I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, what do you think about this? Are these viable viable products and viable options?
Yeah. And the way the recruiting process works a lot right now is that it's coaches going to athletes through the softwares and through the different databases that are available. You know, and our whole product and what we're trying to do at Athletes After is completely flip it on its head. Mm. We're really trying to attack the parents and the athletes themselves and teach them how to do it themselves, teach them how to reach out. So we want to interact with coaches to make sure the idea is good and get them on the platform eventually. But our first customer is the parents, second customer is the athletes, because they're the ones we want buying into the process and learning how to run it themselves.
So could you share with us a little bit about some of the nuts and bolts, some of the distinctives or maybe the value proposition of this business, to just kind of get into the weeds a little bit to help us understand what the business does?
Yeah, so we built our company based on three main products centered around the three biggest aspects that we found in all of our preliminary interviews of the recruiting process. And those three products are our film review, our database, and our video vault. And each one tackles a certain section. So our first
one. That's a good metaphor for a business, tackling issues.
I threw that in there. I wanted to make sure. You know,
it works well for
thanks,
us.
Thanks for catching. But yeah, so our video vault is, you know, our first one. And that's bridging the information gap. That was our first main problem. And so what we wanted to do was to build video database outlining basically step by step and build out, we're going to also call it the book, of the entire recruiting process, no matter where you are in the recruiting process, just completely throwing out videos to give you all the information you need to tackle it. So that's either, you know, NCAA rules and regulations to how to navigate social media. We see it now with so many different athletes. You know, you have to market yourself on social media. Mm. You know, kids are making the wrong, you know, their usernames on their Twitters aren't even their actual real names. So how is a coach going to approach you? It's the little things. So tackling the entire recruiting process, putting it all into an information video vault. I mean, right now we're working on 70 different videos across the board. So we're doing a massive undertaking there. But then also bring in stories from players who have been through the recruiting process before. While they could be NFL players, they could be college players right now, coaches who coach in college or the pro level. Anybody who has any experience with the process, the recruiting process, being able to come in and tell their side of the story, also to pick out information. So that's a huge undertaking there. And if you want to jump into the database that you've built out, that you spent a great, I mean, it's been phenomenal so far what you've done.
Yeah. So we're still working on the film review, like Justin's saying. That's kind of underway. But I don't know, a year ago, a little over a year ago now, we set out to build the database. You know, how are we going to do this? What do we need? And I started scraping for information, you know. It's all started a year ago. Now I believe we have somewhere around 26,500 pieces of individual data points in that database that can all be accessed by, you know, a player or coach or parent.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, and I'll sum it up, it's a complete map of the United States with every college, every camp, every coach's social media handle and contact information all on one clickable map where users can add notes, do their own research, and our video vault will help explain how to manage that and how to use it to best of your ability. But, I mean, 25,000 pieces of data on just one available map for anybody to click through, including camps and everything that any athlete would need.
Yeah. The idea behind it was really to, you know, put the information that you're going to want right at your fingertips. So, you know, who do I need to talk to? What's the review of the school? You know, what majors do they have, right? Where are they? Can I get directions there? How long is the drive? All this kind of stuff that is relative and usable when you're looking for a school.
So if I'm a parent of a young man who's done pretty well in football in his high school years, and I want to find out the range of schools that are possible for him. And I click on Grove City College. I can find out about the program, about the winning season we had this last year, all those stats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Making the playoffs for the first time.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And all about Coach DiDonato and his great team of coaches that support you. I can learn all that.
Yeah, how to contact them, what camps they're going to be at, what majors, because our big thing, too, is football goes, like playing college football is beyond just football. It's your academic career as well. What majors they're going to have, everything that you would want, you know, based on similar to the Princeton Review in some aspects, you know, that whole, so the academic side as well.
Right. That's something that we've, had to deal with now, you know, the fact that injuries happen, right?
Sure.
There is definitely a school component to playing collegiate football. You're in college. You're here to get an education. So,
and you, neither of you knew that your athletic career would end so soon, but you had all of the other elements in place to be able to continue in your studies and to keep moving forward.
Yeah, luckily at Grove City, it was very easy.
Yeah.
You know, some colleges, you don't get that same kind of experience.
Sure.
But, you know, going back, we did build out one more product that is going to be the third piece of our company, which is our film review. Film is the biggest essence of recruiting, you know, being able to put your play on tape and send it out to coaches. Mm. And, you know, we didn't even think about it at first, but running through, we found that if you want to get film done and sent to a coach, most coaches are only going to watch a certain amount or only look for certain things. And a lot of players are making their film wrong. And it seems so simple, but there's techniques just like, hey, if you want to post to social media, there's an algorithm. Coaches have a way they look at film at each and every position. So we built out a review system to look at somebody's film, teach them, hey, this is what you're doing right, this is what you're doing wrong, how do you build it? And it's also there to compete, because a lot of the sites that already have that kind of system in place are going to run you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to just make the film for you. We found, hey, if we just price it very low and just turn it into a review system, we can do it easily, efficiently, and for much cheaper, because most high school students aren't willing to spend thousands on recruiting. That's a block there. So we are able to bridge that gap, get rid of that block, you know, the price point there. And so that's the third piece that we built out.
Mm. And for coaches, they want to find that diamond in the rough.
Exactly.
Right? The undiscovered gem of talent that could possibly go on to greater competition, or might just get lost in the shuffle without the right process.
Mm-hmm. That is every recruiting coordinator's dream, you know. Bring the guy to your head coach, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. You know, how can you be that kid from a small town that maybe doesn't have very impressive film? And how can you put the best spin on what you have? How can you make the best commercial for yourself, right? That's what you're really after.
Interesting. So you're helping these students sell themselves to find the right fit in a college football environment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So you've been here at Grove City College. You're studying, within your various majors. You've started to think about, you know, and obviously work together to create a product that's very interesting and viable. Did anything within school help you, any entities within school help you to kind of get to that point? What were some of the academic or para-academic experiences that helped to propel you to the point where you're at now?
Yeah, for me, I came in originally in as a teaching major, but I had a huge background in working in the online space. You know, Max mentioned earlier, I loved video games. Well, most people thought of me as just a kid that played video games, but I actually built businesses behind video games, working with esports orgs, content firms, stuff like that. And so that was kind of my background coming in. And, you know, I'm going to give you a quick shout out. You know, I don't want to boost your ego too much here, but as I came in as a teaching major, you know, one of the classes I stuck in as one of my electives was an entrepreneur class.
Yeah.
You know, taught by the one and only here. But and that was kind of a little bit of a driver for me, because I sat in my teaching classes and I enjoyed it less than what I was learning in entrepreneurship class. Wow. And for me, that was kind of a driver, like, oh, I'm already doing it. I like entrepreneurship more, and I like business more than I like teaching. Let's make that switch. And, you know, then immediately when me and Max came up with our idea, getting involved with the E&I department here at Grove City.
So the Center for Entrepreneurship,
and Innovation. They've been amazing to us. You know, Logan Hammerschmidt, Lynn Bashu, Professor English, everybody there involved, you know, as well as yourself, you know, being able to provide the feedback. And, you know, we've gotten a chance to do some business competitions now with athletes after, if you want to tell them about the Venture Battle.
Yeah, talk to us about that. The Wolverine Venture Battle, which happens in the spring of every year.
Yeah, that's an incredible competition. It really makes you hone in and really focus on what your goals are, because you have, I believe, three different rounds between when you apply, then you'll submit a video, and the final steps to actually give a presentation in front of a room of, I don't know, 200 or 300 people. So there was...
And live stream, too.
And live stream, of course, yeah. So through that process, you really have to, you know, take a deep dive into what you're trying to do. If you don't understand some aspect of it, that's going to come out, and it's going to be very apparent. So I think that competition is, a great goal, and it helps young ventures go and actually get some seed money and move on and continue with what they want to do. But it also is just a good process for any business to go through. It creates a system where you go from an idea to a proposal to a pitch to hopefully a business.
Yes. Neither one of you are entrepreneurship majors, but the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation and their competitions are open to all students.
Yeah, it's open to everybody. You know, just sitting up, you know, they have their nice room up on campus, and you know, you see people that aren't entrepreneurship majors coming in, socializing, and building a good community there. And I know there's accounting majors that are in there. There's management majors. I think there's even now some mechanical engineer guys that are in and around that area. So it's, you know, the one thing I've learned since coming to Grove City, and I've really had to kind of accepted, is the fact that, you know, to be an entrepreneur, you don't need to be an entrepreneurship major. It's a great jump point because you have the teaching behind it.
Yeah.
But if you want, if you're not an entrepreneurship major and you want to get involved in it, there's a great support system there to enable growth, enable learning outside of just the classes. And luckily enough, we've been able to take advantage of that a little bit. You know, I encourage more students too, because, you know, it's a great experience. You know, anytime you're going into business, if you learn how businesses start and you maybe even get involved in that process, it's just a launch pad for the rest of your career.
Fantastic. So you went through the Wolverine Venture Battle last spring, and you actually won some money as part of that process.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the competition and where you ended up.
Yeah, so the first round of the competition was building out, you know, our papers, our structure, and being able to put it in document form, being able to do it, send it out. And that's where our bread and butter is not. I'll be completely honest. That was the hardest part, which was taking our – because we already had our concept for what we wanted to do at the time. Max did a great job already starting to work on the database, so we were going to have something to show at that competition. But for us, you know, being able to speak publicly about our company for the first time was the biggest thing. And just standing in front of an audience, doing something that most people don't do in their college careers, which is showcase something in front of a lot of people, have the opportunity to win some money, but just sitting down and handling, okay, what does our business model look like? What is our price points looking like? You know, when you're starting a company, you don't think about that stuff right away. People are like, oh, I start a company, I just want money. But what's the system behind it? You know, find the why to what you're doing. And for us, it was finding the why we wanted to do this. And we found that during the Venture Battle. And actually, we were able to do a little bit of fun stuff, like throwing the remote back and forth. We had we showcased that we were athletes a little bit.
Okay,
we were showing
good.
The clicker back and forth, you know, having some fun with it. You know, being the defensive guy, I dropped the remote a little bit more than he did. But
when we were practicing that, there was a second where I'm like, dude, you just can't drop this. You cannot do that.
Right. It's not as durable as a football.
No.
No. No. We like drop the mic moments, but there's a point at which you have to save the equipment.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
But it was a great learning opportunity through and through. Like, I would encourage anybody to do it. And just then also, you know, people say comparison's a bad thing, but comparison's also an opportunity to learn. And learning about what other people, there was a lot of great students going through that and being able to say, hey, what are you doing differently? What's the value that you're bringing? And you think, okay, you may be making, for instance, a baking company, but the way you set up your business model is very good. I may take something off of that. Or talking to somebody else and say, oh, you set up a subscription-based platform. We were just going to go a one-time purchase. How how does that different? You know, how does that all work? Oh, we could maybe incorporate that. So learning from other entrepreneur students, kids who wanted to start businesses, was a huge part of that process as well.
Yeah. And one thing that we both had a conversation about, I think maybe after the first night that we actually, you know, went in there and practiced it on the stage with the giant screen behind us, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, look, we've both given a lot of presentations, right? But this is the first time that we've cared about what we're presenting, you know?
Any professors watching.
Yeah, sorry. For school, you know, you give presentations and you work on them and you know, go and do your best. But, we both kind of realized that this was one of the first times where we were truly, where it really mattered what our outcome was, right? It wasn't just a grade.
You weren't just doing an academic exercise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You were stakeholders in the idea.
Yes.
And you had a lot riding on that.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It changes your perspective.
Just the idea of getting people to buy in to what you're doing and the mission behind what you're doing. And, you know, for us being a sports company, you know, there's a niche audience. So getting people who aren't even in and around sports to buy into what we're doing. I know coming in, one of the judges even told us that I didn't want to give you anything. He said it right to our face, said, oh, be honest, I'm not that interested in sports, but your presentation, the way you talked about your company, and just through our process, trying to figure out how we were going to be able to do that, get people who aren't interested in sports to buy in. And, you know, we did have some success doing that, walking away with enough money where, you know, we could fund round two of what we wanted to do, fund our company going forward, you know, kept our company afloat because, you know, now that we've expanded and, you know, we've made some big business decisions, bringing in some different people, you know, coders, another co-owner, stuff like that, bringing people in, you know, that all came because of the venture battle. Without it, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah.
So it's not just a couple hundred dollars that you win, right?
No.
No. I believe it was $3,625.
Fantastic.
So,
Dang, you got it down to the number.
It's hanging on my wall.
I have
the big check on
the big check. He's still hanging on the wall.
And he's the data guy, right?
He is the data guy.
I'm the numbers guy of the two of us.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about where things are going from here. What's next for Athletes After in terms of your plan to bring this to market?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the Video Vault. So that's going to be a big thing. We're working on it right now. The ball's in my court with that. We have 70 videos we need to get done. And with my background in content creation, script writing, content in general, that's where I'm going to be working most of the time.
You've had a lot of success in other businesses, right?
Yes.
With content creation.
You know, outside of this, I now own my own firm, and which is awesome, working with about 20 million followers worth of accounts, being able to spend most summers, I travel around the country, go to different, you know, mostly video game events, but, you know, content conferences, stuff like that, learning from people and talking to big name content creators. I've worked with some pro athletes in the past, so it's been blessing there. But, you know, taking that background and applying it to Athletes After, because for me, you know, the past 7 years has just been a learning experience for what I'm doing now. You know, I have failed 100 times before I found one piece of success. But from those 100 different failures, being able to learn and apply it to what we're doing now is a big thing. But then also with our business strategy, we're trying something that, you know, has not been done a lot. We're going to be using, you know, the creator economy to launch our company. We're able to bring in another co-founder into the company, and we're using him. He's got, I think, close to 1.2 million followers, one of the biggest college football content creators in the world, to launch our company alongside us. So we're going to have, you know, the difference there that the creator economy provides is eyes on our product day number one, which is awesome. But I mean, we've talked about it, it's terrifying because you're going to launch a company. You know, if it's a flop, people are going to know instantly. We don't have that time to kind of maneuver. So we
strategize
now. This isn't
exactly a soft launch.
No, well, we're going to try to soft launch it and then have him launch it on his stuff.
Okay.
And that's the way we're kind of playing around that. So getting all those pieces in place with him as well, all the marketing in place, is going to be my job. And on the back end, it's going to be...
On the back end, we're... So we still have to finish development of the film review now. Sorry, we have to think about that name every time we say it.
We had an old name for it. We're trying not to say it.
Yeah, we had an old
part
name
of the pivoting
that we can't
process,
say.
Right?
Oh, 100%.
Right. You pivot all the time based on new information.
We got some legal advice. We had to change the name.
All right, there you go. That's helpful.
Yeah, exactly. But so we're we're getting close when it comes to development. We have one more product that we need to finish development on. After that, we can move to user testing. And once we're in the testing stage, then we'll actually be able to get some, you know, pieces of hard data that we can use going forward. You know, how well will this be accepted? What is our churn rate going to look like? What are we, what is our projected sales? You know, stuff like that. We've only been able to estimate and set goals and look at other companies' performance, stuff like that. But once we're actually able to get people on our site and working through it, we'll be able to get some hard data there.
That's great. You have your own analytical data sets that will.
Well, I'm a, I don't know if I mentioned this, I'm a business analysis major. So I transitioned from engineering to BA there.
Perfect.
So I love it.
It takes engineering thinking though, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. Justin always, he would joke that if he had something broken, he'd just leave it out, you know, because odds are it'll get fixed.
You're driven to fix things.
I knew it was interesting when I moved in with him, and the first thing he brought into his dorm room was a toolbox, and that was the first thing he moved in with. Not his bed sheets, not his pillows, but his toolbox was the first thing that he dropped on the floor when we first moved in together. I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I think under my bed I have three toolboxes right now just because I can't go anywhere without it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. So as you are now continuing to prepare for this soft launch and then ultimately get it out there to the customers that you want to reach, is the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation assisting you in any way at this point?
Oh, yeah. And for us, originally starting out, it was a lot of advice-driven stuff and a lot of like, hey, join this business competition, you need more money. And that's kind of the approach we took where it was, you know, they held our hands a little bit with it.
Sure.
And because, you know, I started a company, but I've never started a company like this before. Everything has always just been online-based. This is something a lot bigger, a lot grander, you know, more of a social impact, which is awesome. And now our relationship has developed where, you know, we're working together and, you know, it's like a partnership now. And the E&I program has been fantastic in terms of, oh, what do you guys need? Oh, this weird software that we've never heard of. Hey, this will apply to you, actually. You should learn this. And they'll give us the tools and the teaching for softwares that we're not used to. And, you know, they still help us out, you know, if we want to do competitions every now and then. Mm-hmm. But it first started out, you know, like a parental relationship, holding our hand. Hey, these are little steps you need to get started. Here's the competition you need to get the funding right away, which was the venture battle. And now it's turned into a great partnership where they're working alongside of us. And, you know, I feel like at some points, and the thing that, you know, I love about them is I feel like sometimes they want success more than we want success. They are such a, you know, enveloped into our team and, you know, they want nothing but the best and they're willing to do anything possible to make that happen has just been awesome. You know, shout out Logan Hammerschmidt, the work that he puts in, you know, working day and night, except for Fridays. He's never in his office Friday.
No,
kills me.
He's well owed on Fridays, but he's really working.
I make fun of him for it, but no, it's awesome. They've been so good to us.
Yeah. The working with them made us do the little things right in the beginning. And now that we're able to move on to the, you know, broader, bigger questions. We have a very solid background, and people that we can talk to and trust and, you know that the advice that they're giving us is good advice because all they've given us is good advice.
It's been working.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
So did you consider taking advantage of Venture Lab, Venture Launch, the E&I Fellows?
Mm-hmm. So we've actually, I think, C or D, all the above
yeah.
at this
yeah.
point now. Through the Fellows program, we have a student now working for us, helping us out, helping you on the database side. I mean, with all the data we need, just working through scraping, and she is fantastic, you know, going through the interview process with her, bringing her in, and then through, we started off in lab, then went to launch.
Yep.
And both of those different programs, you know, just the little things, the funding if we needed, you know, supplies, equipment, softwares, you know, just taking advantage of that. And then, you know, the big thing was also in those programs, the connections, the meetings with people. And that's one thing I will say Grove City has been better than I could have ever imagined is the connections. Mm. The alumni base, but not just the alumni base, the people introduced to the college.
Sure.
You know, going to, so they had their 50th anniversary dinner or 25th anniversary dinner the other day, or last semester, I'm sorry, and just going through and, you know, I had the opportunity to speak at it. but just the people that came to the college for this and the introductions that were made and, you know, just people in and around Grove City, you know, anytime you need advice, oh my goodness, I could talk to anybody now and just, hey, I need somebody to help me with, you know, Microsoft products. Oh, we have a guy. Oh, we need somebody with drone work. We have a guy. Mm. Anything you could possibly need, they have the connections for, or they'll do it themselves. And that's just been such a good experience.
Yeah. Great. And with the Fellows program, you're actually getting an employee.
Yes.
That is paid by the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. That's not a, that's not going to hit your budget at all, right?
That is an incredible resource. We have one working for us right now. Like Justin said, she's going through and verifying our data for our expected churn rate. We're looking to hire another one. That's going to be our next steps moving forward. I'm at least attempting to get involved in the Founders Program. So the programs that are offered are really created to help you through every step of the way, take you from that idea, like I said before, and produce a finished product. It's very impressive.
Well, we're really excited for you guys. It's a fascinating vertical market, and it looks like there's a lot of untapped potential. I'm sure you are discovering all the time how you might bring value to this marketplace. So I'm really grateful that you both have joined us today. Great story. We look forward to a very bright future for both of you as you serve families and student athletes and coaches and schools. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we wish you the best. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you for your support, seriously.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. This has been great.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us today on Innovation Generation. We're glad you could join us, and we invite you to come back for more episodes. To contact us, you can find us at gccentrepreneurship.com, or you can follow us on social media at GCC Entrepreneur.